We are live on the SideQuest, your favorite video game podcast of all time. I am Dolly Domofsky. Joining me as usual, the person to the video left of me. Actually, they're both to the left of me. Aaron Scraddybones, Twitch affiliate, Kelly.
Hey, that fucking new Harvest Moon game isn't new. It came out in 2003, and they're charging $60 for it on Steam.
Just right at the gate.
That was our review for the game.
What the fuck is up with that? I'd want to get that out there up front and center, because I'm not the one playing it, so I don't have anything to say about it, because it's not out yet. They want $60 for that game.
True.
$60 Canadian.
It's, what, 53 cents? Yeah, I'm not sure how.
It's probably $49.99.
$49.99. That's probably it. Thank you, Aaron. That was very wise of you. To Aaron's left, well, actually, Aaron's left. Yeah, I was correct. His at least on the video screen here. Maybe I don't even know. Maybe it's all backwards. JJ,
I'm in the middle.
_ _J.
Yeah. Woo.
Woo. Yeah.
I've got no gripes to just boot off.
I mean, I got more gripes. You want to hear them?
Let's do it.
Let's fucking do this. Everybody out there is like, this new console generation is coming out, and everybody's like, oh yeah, they're gonna bump the price of games up to what, like $80 or some shit like that, American.
Yeah,
70 American, I guess, and that puts the price of a video game here to like $115.
Wow. Ooh.
That's like virtual racing on the Sega Genesis.
it's like
Final Fantasy III and the Super NES territory.
If a game after the exchange, if a game came out to $99, you could get, like, if you're buying it digitally, like the way I buy most of my games, you get a prepaid card, and you use that to buy the game. So you get a $100 card, and then you got your game, and like that's it. Like that's the denomination you got to buy, because they've been like, you know, 77 or whatever anyway. So it's like, all right, I've got that. Now that they're over $100, the next denomination up that I've seen that I have access to is a $200 card. So I now have to throw down $200 every time I want to buy a game if that's the price of games coming out on the next console.
That's crazy.
And you can't do anything with it. It's just sitting there, slightly not enough left on the card to buy another game.
Not enough to get like an on sale indie title that like,
by the hopefully if some of the I will say this, I'm gonna guess that brand new games are all gonna be the $70 US price and up. But games that are on previous generations, unless you're NBA 2K, you'll be able to buy them for the regular price, and they'll just kind of transfer over into the Xbox Sex and the PS5. I mean, that was sort of like what they said was going to happen. If you already own it in the current gen, it'll just start working. It may not be the next gen version, but at least you'll have a version that works. I guess maybe that's probably
if they've said that it's going to, you know, they've mentioned backwards compatibility, so it better fucking work.
These motherfuckers out here delaying Cyberpunk 2077 just so they can charge another fucking $10 for it. That's what happens.
Well, no, I'm not going to say no. It's true. Yeah, totally. That's the whole reason. We have a lot to talk about today. I got a new chair. Hold on. Let me see if I can actually turn around. I got the Secret Lab. You can't see it.
Nope.
It's so dark because the lighting is shitty. I'll do this. Secret Lab. I bought myself the Titan. Everybody knows. Well, a lot of people know. Sorry. I design car seats for a living. And therefore, I am very hypercritical. I can't get this on now, whatever. I am hypercritical about the seats that I sit in. They have to be super comfortable, especially now since I somehow managed to completely fuck up my back and I can't even walk. So that's beautiful. I pinched my sciatic nerve, from what it sounds like. And so from my like little lower back all the way down, it started off with just my back aching. And it slowly like crept its way down, and now my knee is in incredible pain. The sciatic nerve. Don't fuck around with that. I'm swearing like crazy because I'm on a lot of medication and I'm drinking. So not.
Yes, inhibitions are low.
I had medication this morning. I haven't had my evening one. Don't worry.
My mom had to get a prescription for a masseuse.
Oh, really?
To fix her sciatic nerve. She had the same thing, and it was so bad that the doctor was like, I'm going to write you a prescription for a masseuse.
I've got a so I went on Monday. So we had the – obviously, we had the great holiday last week, the huge big holiday.
Canada Day. It was great.
It was awesome. We all celebrated a little – no. And obviously, Independence Day in the U.S. as well. We went up to my parents' cottage and hung out there. Could not do anything. We were at – there's like a little beach area there. I was in complete pain the whole time, whimpering like a baby. Couldn't see any fireworks. I couldn't go outside because I was in that much pain. Social distancing was great because I couldn't move, so I couldn't get close to anybody. Perfect. yeah.
And you were being such a sour puss about the whole thing that no one wanted to be near you.
Completely. No one wanted to be around me. Anyways, by the way, Corey says boo. Congratulations, Corey. Corey got engaged. Our good friend Corey.
Yeah.
And turned 30.
And it was his birthday.
And it was his birthday. God, how lame.
Fuck you, birthday wedding boy.
Yeah. Jeez, he's going to get married on a holiday next. He'll be like, I got married on Labor Day. Yeah.
An engagement cake. That's
an engagement cake. which will definitely be a Lost Odyssey engagement cake. Whimpering and horrible pain. It's not to be messed around with, but I did get the chair came in. I ordered it at the beginning of June, and it showed up on right when I got back. So what's Monday of this week? The 6th, 5th, 6th? I don't know, one of those days. So I put together, super easy to put together, I got to say. Kudos to them. Sitting in this thing. So I like I said, I wanted to be hypercritical, especially since I'm having back problems. First of all, the build quality is pretty nice on this thing. I gotta admit, they did a great job putting this thing together. It's like a $400 chair, and you can tell they did a good job of putting all this stuff together. I don't know if they're making that much of a profit. I mean, this is me getting in a little bit of the weeds only because I know
you know what you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of like mechanisms on this. If they're making a profit, I'm gonna guess they're probably making a profit around 50, 60 bucks a chair. I actually don't think it's a lot. I'm totally guesstimating here only because the box they sent it in was just a huge box and had all this stuff and all this, like, I took a lot of photographs and posted on Twitter, and I'll post it on the site too, but they did a really nice execution of everything was bagged separately. They give you your own little toolkit. They have this beautiful step-by-step process of how to arrange everything like pictorially. They did a good job. Really nice build quality. There's some issues. Obviously, I have a lot of little issues here and there with some of the build stuff only because I know I have the inside baseball on how this shit comes together because this is what I do for a living. But right now, I will say not any more comfortable than this $400 chair is 0% more comfortable than the $60 chair that I bought my daughter from Amazon Basics, the task chair. Now, this one will last a hell of a lot longer. That's for damn sure. And I'm going to assume that because this actually has a good amount of foam on the seat, that as soon as the foam starts to finally give way a little bit, it might take some breaking in. Then it'll start to like conform a little bit more to my body. But
you're describing a butt groove, Dally.
Yes, and I think I need a butt groove in this one because right now it is like sitting on a board a little bit. And part of that is the they have like the suspension strap underneath instead of like metal. Underneath the foam is just like a strap of material, but it's not doing a good job of actually giving like real suspension. Like it still feels really hard. So anyways, feels very flat, and the front of the cushion is like just – impacting the back of my thighs. I'm a shorter person. Maybe one of you two giants might not have a problem, but I'm only like 5'9". So, or as I write on my license, I'm actually 6'1". I can feel it quite a bit on the back. And you never want that to happen in any kind of chair, really, is to have that. So it just gives you unneeded pressure on there. So I do have some quibbles with this. I'm going to wait until how I break it in over the next 2-3 weeks here, but I like the width is kind of nice.
How are the armrests? Are they foam or are they hard plastic?
They are. Oh, I can't. Of course, I'm like, let me take them up. I can't. They are. it's a foam, armrest. They're not wrapped in like leather or anything. They're actually like, they got like a skin of poly on there. So it's basically like a plastic, soft plastic wrap on top, but they're foam underneath. So you can, so it's like a little layer of foam on plastic with like a durable material on top of it. So yeah, they're soft, which is definitely a positive. You want to have these soft. You don't want them hard. Cause,
like mine.
Like yours, like everybody else's. Trust me, if you bought one for like less than $100, it's going to be a hard plastic armrest and sucks. But it's they move really nice. There's a lot of like a lot of fluidity in this. They got like they did a lot of nice details with the materials. They're it's almost like very graphic like cut lines instead of like understanding where to put your finger to activate something. I guess it's like, oh, if this is all the same color, you couldn't tell that there was a button to push here to activate the armrest. Right. Does that make sense? It's like when you're looking at a really graphic line on a, like a flat 2D poster, instead of having some type of actual shape, like I want my finger to understand where to push a button. So there would have been like some cool little details in there, but yeah, it's built really nice. We'll go from there and see if this starts to break in. It is better than what I had before, which was a dinner table chair, dining chair. So that's positive. And it's much better than the shitty 15-year-old office chair that I had. That may be one of the reasons that I'm having a back problem right now, because that foam disappeared. And again, those chairs will ruin in about 3 months. They become semi unusable if you pay like under $100. Do yourself a favor and get a better chair, and get something with enough foam on it, on the cushion especially. You don't need a lot of foam on the back, I will say that much. The back is all about curvature and getting your spine in the right spot. But get something with enough foam on the cushion, because that's really where it matters the most. And then I will say another thing again, me being the seating guy, I feel like I can get on my, the one time I get onto a soapbox here, at least I need to get on, so I can be your height. get on my soapbox. get something with an integrated functioning mechanical lumbar, not a separate pillow. The reason is a separate pillow will break down, and they never stay in the spot that you need them to. A functioning lumbar is actually designed into the seat, and it knows where it needs to be. They're going to jack up the price, like a lot of times, $50, $60, $100 sometimes, because they are much more expensive. They have to put them in the seat before the seat gets finished. But it's much better for you. It's much more worth it. And yeah, I can't stress enough. Don't just go for a cheapo pillow. Try to get an actual integrated hard lumbar. Though they are important. A lumbar is so crucial to getting your spine like in the right position. Anyways, that's Dolly's seating update for the day.
We'll come back next week with another Dolly butt check and see how
another Dolly butt check. Maybe I can start walking by then. I did find out I can actually ride my bike, because this position that I'm in right now, surprisingly, with the sciatic nerve, this is like completely comfortable. I am not knowing any pain right now. When I stand up, or if I'm crouching, or if I'm lying on my side, just immense pain. Whatever. All right. Let's talk about non-medical things. See, I actually had a medical story this week. That's awesome. Sweet. It's like the first time. Usually it's Aaron or Sam or someone. Let's get into games. What are you guys playing? Let's start with Aaron.
Wait.
Oh, what? You got something?
Yeah, I do. I have one more gripe.
Oh, shit. Sweet. Go ahead.
I got one more gripe. Where the fuck, because you just mentioned it, where the fuck is Sam? I was promised full-on face rig technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that cool Unreal? Holy shit. Just too big of a swig. Oh, my God. I haven't had alcohol in like a week, so I haven't had alcohol in a week. My senses are really heightened right now because I've been on medication. That new Unreal AR tech that they're using, did you see that? The mocap stuff? Dude, you can it's an app for like phones, and it links to like software in Steam and some other stuff. I guess they were trying to say, or whatever they were doing. Not Steam, Steam with Epic Game Store, some type of other app, Unreal app, and you can do completely awesome like facial rigging with the stuff they were showing in the video is unbelievable.
Was that like Star Fox?
We can get a fucking Star Fox. We have to get to the Star Fox. And we're gonna, I'll put a hit out. I'm gonna put a reward out there, a bounty on the first person who can make us a fully functional AR rig Star Fox. We're gonna go for that. Yeah, I was promised. And where is Sam with his, with Star Fox or Captain Falcon?
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Freaking Sam, come on. Okay, now let's actually talk about games.
Yeah, let's talk about
games. Let's go to you first, Aaron. A dog.
I haven't really been playing anything new, but what I did pick up over the Steam sale and started playing that because now I have a new video card.
Computer's working.
Yeah, I picked up Assassin's Creed Origins.
Ooh, all right. I'm curious to hear your take on this.
So I'm aware.
Odyssey. This is the one that takes place in like ancient Egypt, right?
This is ancient Asia. The Odyssey is the one that's
more RPG.
The sequel.
Yeah,
I guess, yeah, it takes place in Greece. I almost bought that at the same time, but I was like, this is going to take me a while to play, so I'll wait. I got somewhere between 8 to 10 hours in it so far.
Mm-hmm.
I made it out of the starter village, and I'm in Alexandria, which is like the first big city, if there were more. I've just been running around. The game's okay. The last Assassin's Creed game I played was Black Flag, and Black Flag... playing it, like, that's a really good game, but it very distinctly feels like an Assassin's Creed game. Like, you play that game and the way the character moves and all that stuff, you're like, all right, this isn't, they've streamlined it, but this is what an Assassin's Creed game feels like. And then I started playing this, and I was running around and I was doing stuff, and I got into some combat, and I was like, this doesn't feel like Assassin's Creed at all. It's fine. I'm having fun with it, so that doesn't matter, but it was just this weird dissonance. And then I was climbing a thing so I could do the Assassin's Creed, you know, synchronize, you know, get up there and hit the button and the map opens up, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you hold forward and jump and he dives off into the hay bale or whatever. And it's like, oh, it's a classic Assassin's Creed. So I did the synchronize and then I hit forward and pressed A and my dude did a full walk into the air and threw himself into the street and I desynchronized and died. And I said, all right, now this feels like an Assassin's Creed.
There you go. You want Wile E. Coyote over there.
Yep. Now it feels like an Assassin's Creed.
But
that's brilliant.
Yeah. That game's okay.
Right. I kind of wish they'd go back and like kind of give Assassin's Creed 1 a once over and maybe make that a better game than it came out as. Because like I like the time frame of the first Assassin's Creed a lot, but boy, that is a hard game to play.
the one thing they really want you to spend money in that game.
Boy, yeah.
I played a bunch of that game, and then I turned it off for the night. Then I turned it on the next day after work. And usually there's, like there's the loading screen. And you can cycle through, like, all the tips and stuff.
Yeah.
And the fucking first tip that pops up is store. Hey, there's a store that could make all this really easier for you. And then I flip through a couple of times, and then the title of the next tip is, like, time savers. And it's like, you know, couple of dollars gets you EXP boosters, and it's like, I just want to play the fucking game. Like, if I didn't want to play the game, why the fuck, like, why would I buy the game to spend money to not play the game?
But
I have no idea if that got better in the Greek one, but it's pretty blatant in this one.
But I mean, to JJ's point, I would love to see them. I mean, we got the Ubisoft thing is on Sunday, I think, this weekend.
Yep. Sure. Who knows anymore?
It's another day. I don't even know what fucking day it is.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll announce. I mean, they don't have any. They had Odyssey. Was Odyssey 2 years ago? Or it wasn't last year, was it?
Odyssey was 2 years ago.
But, I mean, they've got the
Watch Dogs.
Well, they've already got the Assassin's Creed announced. I mean, that's that.
Yeah, it's Valhalla.
That Valhalla one.
Oh, that's right. Duh. I'm stupid. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's what's happened is I don't even freaking remember this whole. You're right. That's the next Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed God of War.
Assassin's Creed. I'd love to see. Well, there you go. Corey says it's rife with MTs. Odyssey is. I'd love to see them just remake. Yes, do a full remake of that first Assassin's Creed. Fix the stuff that people didn't like, which was enough. There was plenty of stuff in there.
It did a horrible job at disguising the same mission over and over again.
Yes.
Assassin's Creed 1, there were three missions.
Yeah. At least, there's still only like three missions in the subsequent Assassin's Creed, but they kind of disguise it better.
So. Well, in subsequent Assassin's Creed, starting with
I mean, two is still absolutely one of my favorites.
Two is okay. Yeah, what was the phenomenal. What was the middle one of two? It was Assassin's Creed
Brotherhood.
Brotherhood, yeah. And then whatever the third one was. Starting with Brotherhood.
Revelations.
Yeah. Starting with Brotherhood, they started spicing the missions up, so you would have missions that would have you do stuff.
Yeah.
But in like Assassin's Creed and Assassin's Creed 2, like Assassin's Creed 1 specifically, there were three missions, and all they were sit on this bench three times.
Yeah, listen.
Stand near this guy three times.
Yeah.
And occasionally you get to kill a guy. Or follow this guy, but not too close because they'll see you. And then occasionally you get to kill a guy. But, no, the one thing that kind of irritates me is I like to dig into the lore of these games.
Yeah.
And what they've been doing for a while now is you can get out of the Animus and like walk around modern day.
Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Well, this one, you're in a cave in Egypt. So there's no other people around, which probably had to really help on the assets. But they started that with the original trilogy. So you pop out and it was Desmond. And then they fucking killed Desmond. Desmond was
spoiler.
Desmond was the best part of those games, and then they killed him, and then they just went off in this fucking wild ride of like Ubisoft existing in that universe, and
then Watch Dogs exists in there.
So, exactly. So in this one, you get out of the Animus for the first time, and there's like your little laptop right there, and you're like, you can look through all these files, and it's all just fucking nonsense. But then very occasionally, there's something interesting in there, like, hey, we saw this guy in Chicago, and it's the fucking dude from Watch Dogs 1, like a street camera shot of him, like wearing the full like Aiden Pierce get up with the ball cap and the mask and shooting a dude. And it's like we don't know this guy, he's a bad dude. And I'm like, all right, I guess. And because, that game sucked. But there's another one. They go into a whole deep dive on Desmond with like recorded voice lines and this character that you're playing as in this game being like, I wonder what happened to him. Cause she's like full on Abstergo. Like she's bought the company line, hook, line, and sinker. And she's like, this file says he was like he volunteered for the process and he was a model employee. And then he just went off the rails and I don't know what happened. And I'm just like, you motherfuckers.
Jeez.
Like what's the end game with Assassin's Creed?
Because I don't know.
It seemed like at a point there was going to be like, it's going to eventually move up to
a modern day,
a modern day version of this. It'd be with, I guess, Watch Dogs in a way, but
they
just kind of gave up on it and just sort of like let it exist in a world of lore and
like,
lore.
They finished off the Desmond thing where like one of like Desmond's whole thing is like every life is tracking down like these weird mystical artifacts to stop the Templars from getting them. But these artifacts are connected to like primordial god beings.
Yeah.
And then Desmond's story ends with one of them trying to manifest in the modern day and he burns his own arms off to kill it.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I guess that's an end.
Yeah.
And then they just kept going.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, now we're going to jump into, the student in this game, Bayek of Siwa. And it's just like, well, he's got no real connection to these motherfuckers. Yeah, he's not even an assassin.
There's no sort of like overall threat going on anymore. Like, it's like,
okay. These last couple of games, like Assassin's Creed 4, you're not an assassin at all. You're a goddamn pirate.
Yeah, you're a pirate that stole the assassin stuff. Yeah.
This one, you start off and you're essentially ancient Egypt cop.
Yeah.
Which, fair enough, I guess. And you roll around for a while, and then you meet up with your wife, and she gives you the assassin blade, and she shows you how to use it, and the very fucking first thing you do is cut your own goddamn finger off with it, killing a guy. Oh, it's like you're not even playing as assassins anymore.
You don't even care anymore.
You just gave this child a firearm, and the first thing he did was shoot himself with it.
The Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah.
But, no, that game's fine. It's fun.
Most of them are. That's the Assassin's Creed experience. Like, hey, I'm enjoying myself. It's,
it's like, how do you explain about it? How would you rate, it's like when you ask somebody, if they ever ask me, like, how would you rate the latest Assassin's Creed game, whatever it is, whatever one it would be, I'd be like, It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. There's some graphical shit in there, but, some guy's eyes are melting, but whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, that's
it. It's fine. Okay, it works.
So I mentioned that I got
crazier shit in Elder Scrolls.
I got this new video card, which means I can actually play games on, like, really high settings for once. And the side effect of that is that now I'm noticing, like, all the really bad animations. Like, for the gameplay animations, like the characters move really nicely and the combat looks fluid, and then it goes into cutscenes and it's just like, wow, you guys you guys use the Uncanny Valley as a guideline, not a warning on this one, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's pretty much it. I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed. Yeah.
Cool.
I will probably continue to play that until it is done or I get bored of it, because that's nice. How you play a video game.
That's true. That's what I've been playing. JJ, what have you been playing?
Trackmania.
Nice. Oh, shit. So this is free, right? Is it?
Well, they're the initial, there's a free version, okay. And it's just basically a demo. You're not really, But then there's like, for $10, it's like a subscription-based service. Mm-hmm. So it's like for like $10 a month, you get the sort of the basic version of it, and like if you pay like the like $60 for 3 months or whatever, you get access to sort of like everything, like groups and all this stuff. But
servers
and all that. It's Trackmania. I fucking love Trackmania.
Cool, yeah, it's great. Trackmania's great.
It is just a sink down into your chair and just sort of try to beat some times and lose track of time, and that's all I can ask from it.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's a market improvement from when they tried to consoleize it. With that Turbo or whatever it was. It was a fine game. I liked the VR stuff in it. But no, it's nice to just sort of like, yeah, Trackmania. Good old classic Trackmania. Trackmania, like Stadium 2, is great because like everyone's just doing their best to like make that game as big of a mess as possible. It's just like custom designs and avatars and music and bullshit. And it's just a beautiful mess. I love it.
I like that game because you can look that game up on YouTube and then it's like, hey, check out this cool Trackmania level. And then it's somebody with a capturing footage and then a webcam on their keyboard and mouse. Yeah. And they press the up arrow once and then just take their hands off it and the game plays itself while K-pop blasts out through the
love it.
It's like, all right. It's a beautiful. Yeah, that's Trackmania Stadium 2. It's like it is keyboard. It's like a racing game that you play on keyboard. Like controls do not work for it, and it's weird but you know what? It's great. It always has been, always will be. I've never tried any of the other Mania games. There's like Shoot Mania and that nonsense. But
sure, yep.
I've never tried any of that. Track Mania is good enough for me. I'll always go for a good racing game, and that's a good damn racing game. I also played a little bit of that Hyperscape. That
thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's the Ubisoft.
I did the thing where it's like I will put up this Twitch video. Go to bed, wake up, maybe I'll have the code waiting for me. And I absolutely did.
So, oh, nice. How do you, so what was that? What do you mean you put up the Twitch video?
Well, because if you have drops on Twitch, you watch a feed. It's just like the same thing that happened with Valorant.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing. You just have the video going and they randomly just, if you got drops on, you'll randomly get a key. But
nice.
Obviously there are channels taking advantage of that. It's like, we're streaming 24/7. So just put it on and went to bed, woke up. Here's my key.
Nice.
It's exactly what you expect that game. It's like every battle royale game, but it's more vertical.
That's the one thing that I think was really sort of interesting to me was the verticality of it and really sort of moving, because Fortnite is like the ultimate basic. PUBG is actually even a little more
basic. PUBG is going a little more basic.
PUBG is more basic. But Fortnite, you don't get a lot of verticality. This seemed like there was a lot of cool verticality.
It's fast. It has that sort of like id mentality of speed, like a first person shooter with some real fast speed going on, and you're double jumping on the rooftops and catching all your stuff, and it's like just squad based right now, so your
team's
of four and doing your battle royale thing. There will be, but just not right now since it's like it's super early nonsense. It has a weird, like, it's almost ugly with its aesthetic, but like
sweet.
At the same time, you realize it sort of has to be because you're so vertical that everything sort of has to be really, like, flat. So, because you're going to be jumping against really plain-looking buildings and stuff. So, you have to be able to see a person on a rooftop.
Yeah, you can't have a lot of crazy textures and other stuff happening. Interesting.
So, yeah, but, I mean, that stuff may change going forward or whatever, but as it is now, it's fine. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'll go back anytime soon because that's not really my genre. I just knew there was an easy way to check out something new and I could do it. So, and I did. And I'd recommend checking it out if you can. Yeah. It seems like it's just,
it's free. There's not, there's like, yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it's a competent one of those. I don't know if it's going to be anything. I mean, everyone's trying this and I don't know if, Ubisoft has it in them to like.
It's no Worms. Worms Battle Royale game that got announced. So
I can't wait for that.
Man, that no. See, I will get into that. That's definitely.
So okay.
And I started a new Breath of the Wild save because I decided I needed to play Breath of the Wild.
I never finished it.
What?
Yeah. Like,
go ahead.
I was just saying, you got that motorcycle?
Oh, yeah. On my original save, that motorcycle's there. It's good.
What point do you get it in the game if you've got the... post-game, or...?
It's the end game to the DLC. Like, got you're it. Working your got way it. In the DLC to get that motorcycle, basically. Okay. So, once you have the motorcycle, you've pretty much done all you can in that game. Maybe find some more shrines or whatever.
Sure, whatever, yeah. I never finished it. That's one thing. It's on my... So my bucket list. I love that game. I got like 3/4 of the way through, loved every bit of it, and then just like everything that happens with me with games, you know, and I'll get to that in a second with that. So it's the Breath of the Wild. And oh God, who knows what Nintendo will announce besides whatever they've been announcing.
We'll talk about that today.
We'll talk about that. Okay, cool. Let's see. I've been completing games, guys. I've been completing games. I decided to finally finish, obviously, being laid up, one thing that's helping me is I can't be super mobile. I can't work out. Not that I was a big, you know, not that I was crazy working out or anything, but I don't no longer go for like walks around the neighborhood and stuff. So I've saved like an hour plus a day and just sitting on the couch and not being as active. I completed Astral Chain. I completed that last week, but then I went and did some of the extra, there's like extra levels and some other things like post game stuff you can do. So I got that cleared as much as I could until I finally kind of got sick of it. Really cool game. That's also a game where there's like a lot of repeating level types. A lot of, you know, there's like, you have an open space and go kind of answer a couple little, few quests here and there. And then, you know, you either got to find someone or you got to capture someone or you got to close these little gates. And then, and then you go into like, the boss mode, which is just go after, you know, one of the bosses. The visuals are pretty freaking phenomenal in that game, even though it's on Switch and it's that Platinum art style that Platinum does so well. Like, I love what they did with the Transformers game that they had on PS4 and Xbox 360 and stuff, or Xbox One. I don't know what generation it was, whatever. Devastation, I think it was, whatever the game was. So I love I love Platinum's visual style. They did a good job. They did an awesome job with this. I mean, there's a lot of like moments where I would just find myself clicking the screen and taking a screen cap because I'm like, I'm gonna download this stuff later on. Anyways, finish that. And then I was clearing out my backlog, just, you know, trying to go through all the carts and games and stuff, trying to figure out what I was gonna play next. And I'm like, oh, there's Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. I'm like, oh shit, I never played the DLC for that. There's a lot of it. So I'm like, screw it, I'm going to get the DLC. I thought it was going to be like three stories. There's really only one story section, which is actually a pretty decent story section.
Yeah.
$20 isn't just for that. $20, you get like all these extra challenges and all these extra modes. There is a lot of post-game stuff you could do. Like, that game is filled to the brim with crap to do. I ended up selling it because I'm like, if it's sitting here, it's going to be one of those things where I lose time playing these thousands of challenges instead of, you know, playing other games. But yeah, I was surprised at how much, just going back to that, realizing how much I liked it. And it's really good. I might, if that game ever goes on sale digitally, then I might pick that. It hasn't, because they have so many, you know, licenses that they have to tie in with Marvel. Right. Good luck trying to get that on sale. And that's it's Nintendo and was it Team Ninja or whoever it was that was working? I can't remember who it was that developed it for Nintendo. Yeah. But Nintendo right now kind of owns the, owns that license or owns that game.
So funny because I was just talking about this with a friend the other day about sort of like, the Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, or the whatever, Infinite?
Yeah, Infinite, that's the last one.
Just the sort of, like, bullshit that went on mm-hmm. with that cast and everything, and how, like, and yet, just, like, a short amount of time later, here's Ultimate Marvel versus, or Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Which is phenomenal. Every character you want is in there.
With good character designs, yeah. Which they definitely didn't have in Infinite.
And we spoke about this last year when the game came out. What I really liked about it was they give you, like, the versions of the characters that you want. So not just it's not like you're going to get the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of everybody.
Yeah.
If there's a better version of a Spider-Man, that's the one that'll be there. Yeah. There's, like, Miles Morales is in this game. And it's like, it's basically Into the Spider-Verse Miles Morales, which is pretty awesome. Yeah. And it's, you know, Venom is in there, and it's a good, you know, it's a good Wolverine.
It's the good lethal protector Venom, and it's
exactly, exactly.
Yeah, a very classic, like, you know, Infinite didn't even have Wolverine, like, he's right, an iconic right. Marvel versus Capcom character, and there's no Wolverine in it.
Great.
One of my favorite was Marvel versus Capcom 3 when that came out, because it came out just before Guardians of the Galaxy. It has Rocket Raccoon in it, but he has his very thick Cockney accent in it, because. Like, that was sort of the implication in the comics. The way he talked was, like, very British. Bradley Cooper impersonation, exactly.
So, yeah, great game, Ultimate Alliance. So can't find it on sale anywhere. I don't think it ever goes on sale. It's still, like, $60 everywhere.
Yeah.
Definitely worth picking it up. And then got back into Dad of War because I realized I had never finished that game either. So God of War, and I thought I was so much further along. I'm like, oh man, I'm so far along in this game. And I started playing last night, and I get to this point, I'm like, God, this battle is really cool. It's this ginormous dragon, and I'm like, this battle is phenomenal. And I'm like, I'm just kind of curious. Let me check what point I'm at. I'm like not even a third of the way. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I think I'd already spent like 20 plus hours in this game. I'm like, oh, crap.
My Last of Us 2 experience for that exact same
thing. It's like, oh, crap. And it's because I find myself like, stay to the one marker, go straight to that marker and solve the puzzle room. It's like, oh, but I can go into Fafnir's cave and get some gold or whatever, get some Hexilver. So, I mean, that's
tired of just throwing the axe and catching it.
Me neither. Oh, and then making it like curve and finding ways to do stupid shit with it. It's just fun.
So satisfying.
Throw my axe at everything in every room, even though I know 99.9% of the time it's not going to do anything. Knowing before I throw it, it's like,
Thinking you can game the system and try to find a way to like cut those vines down without doing it in the weird order they want you to or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I throw the axe this way and I angle it and I move over here, maybe I'll... No.
And I hit triangle real fast.
And I hit triangle real fast. Right, and then,
maybe. Yeah,
if my dumb son will launch the arrow. By the way, I will say... God, Kratos is a fucking horrible father, man. I'm at the point right now where he is an a-hole. Like, if I ever got caught treating my kid like this, I'd be in child protective services would be coming right out. Anyways, God of War, third of the way in. I've got to just finish clobbering this dragon, and I was up till 2 o'clock playing that last night. Yeah, I'm getting into the next-gen mode right now and looking at, like, videos and looking at all these trailers and shit that's coming out, and, I'm swearing a lot today. Sorry. And, but I'm like, God, God of War from like 3 years or 2-3 years ago, whatever, still looks phenomenal. Looks so good. Yeah. So good.
It's too bad it's a bad game, though. Oh,
it's no Spider-Man, which I also have to finish.
You know what happened? I got the DLC for Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. DLC's not good.
And I got to like one mission, and the mission is completely busted.
Oh, no.
There is nothing I can do. Fix it. Like, I've deleted the game. I've reinstalled it. There's no previous save that goes back just before that. It's like significantly before that. And I'm just like, well, if the game's fucking busted, I can never finish. I think I could just start a new game plus and just start the DLC in it and just start from the beginning, because I wasn't that deep into the DLC. So who knows? I don't know.
I don't know.
I may go back. I may not. I don't know at this point.
Well, that's what I've been playing. So,
good
collection of old games for all of us.
Nobody's playing anything. I'm playing the newest game, and it's still just Trackmania.
It's still just Trackmania. Exactly.
I bet if Sam were here, he'd probably be playing something new.
Exactly, and then Quest.
Or
would
he's
be,
still playing Last of Us because he wasn't really that close to the end.
Yeah, it's true. He's going to still be playing that. Yeah, and then Zach is playing a game from like 25 years ago, anyways, before he was born. So there you go. With the remake of
I'm gonna have to buy that fucking game.
Yeah,
I like Harvest Moon. I'm not happy about paying $60 for it, but I'm gonna have to buy that fucking game in a week.
I do remember that game. I never played it, but I do remember it. All right, let's talk about some news. Let's get in a little bit of news here.
There is news.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the biggest story of the week. I do this from time to time.
I love it.
Initial D is coming up.
Initial D.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
It was announced for 2020, I think, so coming out this year. But Sega released a trailer online. It's going to be an arcade game. I assume the booth is going to look like a car.
You're gonna be able to print out a driver's license. It's gonna be great.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna have the best soundtrack possible.
Oh, that is true.
Yes.
should I watch the movie on Netflix?
No. You should watch the first season and a half of the original anime, and then you're probably good.
And then find the soundtracks online and just melt away into that.
Nice. Craziness. All right, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Far Cry 6 got accidentally announced or accidentally leaked and then teased by Ubisoft for their event on Sunday.
Hasn't that been just the way things go from now on where something gets like leaked and they're like, oh shit, quick, put something out there real quick. And then they'll just be like, you got us.
Oh God, you got us. And anyway, the villain has been revealed, and it's somebody played by Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's probably going to be a pretty good fucking villain.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's the best villain in every show that he's in.
It looks, and I'm glad it looks like it's not going to be white savior kind of nonsense.
Yeah. Here's hoping.
Yeah, because it said that the character is like from the island that they're on, so he's like. You know, so it's him saving his own hometown, basically. So
they oh God, what was I was gonna say something, I completely forgot what I was gonna say.
Let's just talk about Far Cry. I kinda like those games, but I get sick of them like halfway through and I'm like, okay.
I find myself, I really like Far Cry games, especially since 3, but weirdly enough, if I were to rank them like from 3 onwards, I like all the side games more than I like the main games. I like Primal.
Blood Dragon. Blood Dragon fucking rules.
I like the post-apocalyptic one that branched off 5, like New Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that, but I like, yeah, so.
I still really like 2. I know it's...
2's really good, too.
2's really good, but...
I've really got to get into the Far Cry games. I've like touched on them here and there, but...
If you start at 1 and 2, you will hate them.
Going back to 2 is rough because it is not user friendly. It goes out of its way to fuck you over.
Yes, it does.
Your guns are jamming. You're dealing with malaria the whole time.
You literally have to Far Cry 2 opens up and you have to get your ass to a doctor to get some malaria pills. And if you don't constantly take them when you need to, like that game just kills you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and then.
It's definitely a survival game more than it is a shooter, because also everyone is way better in the universe at being a shoot man than you are.
Oh, yeah. And then Far Cry 3 came around and you turned into a superhero, essentially.
Yeah, they made you, yeah.
Here's an update. Game Informer's former editor-in-chief, Andy McNamara, announced, we talked about it a little bit last week, but he announced he was bouncing. He was doing some other stuff. Everybody was really excited to find out what he was going to do next, because a bunch of other people from Game Informer also announced they were leaving around the same time. So the rumor going around was like, oh, maybe they're going to start something. Maybe they're
Giant Bomb 2.
Yeah, like that. Andy McNamara is going to EA. So it's been nice knowing you, Andy. It was cool to see you in the industry.
Sold your soul to the devil in here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're hoping you can fix that company that sucks, but I don't think you can. So. Yeah. He's going to EA. He's he announced it in a tweet. He is, what is his exact role? He is the company's new director of comms strategy. So he's going to tell them how to spread their lies.
Yeah.
Better.
Come up with a better word for loot boxes, please. That's the.
Yeah.
I saw that they announced on Twitter that Crysis for Switch is staying at the same release date. we were talking about that last week because they delayed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's like that was the one people were worried about. Like, no, nobody gives a shit about Crysis on the Switch.
I have a story pulled up here. I'm going to avoid the actual guts of the story for a more general overview. Hey, what's up with the fighting game community being filled with pedophiles?
Oh, my Lord. Boy. Good Lord. Ugh.
That, like, so.
The Smash community is just fucking done at this point.
For anybody who wasn't watching the shit blow up every day last week, the timeline went a little something like this. Somebody got outed as a pedophile. Followed by somebody got outed as abusive.
Yeah.
Followed by somebody else who is highly respected in the Smash community, just like committing suicide, which sucked.
Yeah.
Less than 24 hours after that, somebody got outed as a pedophile, which blew all those news stories out.
Yeah.
And then like 10 more people got outed as pedophiles.
I mean, that community in particular sort of breeds bad.
Pedophiles?
Like, just the dregs of society? I don't want to say it, but, like, these are a lot. I mean, just watch. Like, it dates back to the 80s and, like, the professional stuff. Look at Billy Mitchell. That's a shitty dude. You know full well he hasn't been. It's just going to be the same thing going forward. It's just all these. These are people that are now famous that shouldn't be famous and don't know how to deal with it. And are going to just be assholes and creeps and pedophiles and just the worst of the worst, it seems like. And, you know, at least Sonic Fox seems to be.
Yeah, the one quote-unquote light in the tunnel is that all of the people that you really hope aren't shitheels have all essentially removed themselves from the FGC.
Yeah.
They've all been out there being like, I'm out, I'm not doing any more events. And then in the wake of that, like... Yeah. Like tournaments, like events are just done. Like
Evo just canceled their whole shit.
Yep.
The Evo president's on administrative leave. Following misconduct allegations.
Evo. Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just been a big clusterfuck. And it didn't take long either.
It did not.
A week and a half just absolutely dismantled the entire fighting game scene. And it's just crazy.
Well, it turns out when a bunch of your most famous people and the president of your most famous tournament are all outed as pedophiles, shit does, like you don't survive that as an event or a community. So,
it's been hard to watch. It's been really hard to watch, but. Because that's really the only esports I've ever really enjoyed, like, watching is, like, professional fighting stuff and just...
Yeah. Okay,
professional wrestling's been ruined for me, fighting stuff's been ruined for me, everything's fucking done.
Pointed out it's been ruined, I agree.
But, I'll just be over here watching speedrunning stuff because nothing bad or creepy ever happens in the speedrunning community. Hey, did you guys hear about 8,000 games getting pulled from the App Store in China this week?
Yeah, buddy.
I'm just going to get away from the speedrun talk. This is just, I just thought this was kind of interesting. China passed a law a while ago requiring any game being sold or any free game that has microtransactions, essentially anything that generates money. Has to have like a valid product registration. And it turns out that like anything that released on Android's been enforcing that in China. And I guess Apple had not been. So they just pulled.
That seems ass backwards. Usually you think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah. So they just went ahead and removed about 8,000 games from the Chinese App Store.
That's wild.
Still leaves. Like 4 trillion games.
I'm just sitting here going like, I mean, I guess if 8,000 game out of 8,000 games, if those are all like it does, if they're only being removed now, that means they've been on there generating money. So yeah. Do the people who lost their games off the store give a shit if as long as their game wasn't pulled in the first 24 hours? You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So. But yeah. Another Ubisoft studio has been accused of gross misconduct. Ubisoft Montreal was in the crosshairs last week. Ubisoft Toronto.
Oh boy.
But
it's not going to stop. I mean, it's just not.
No.
It's just next week will be another studio, and
I don't have a way to phrase. Yes, I am a writer, which means I'm supposed to be very good with words. This is not going to sound nice, but just stay with me for a minute.
Okay.
I hope this doesn't stop.
Yeah,
That's the part that sounds really bad because obviously I don't want this to be happening.
Because you don't. Yeah, you don't. In order for this stuff to be happening, people had to have been hurt, and you
right,
don't
yeah,
want people.
Yeah.
But you also want like these people to just be fucking drugged through the mud.
Yeah.
At
this point, best in my mind. At this point, best case scenario. This is so public and everything is so fucked that nobody is currently being hurt right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody who has been hurt, as horrendous as that is, has been hurt. So I would very much like to get the people who did the hurting absolutely fucked and out of this industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I agree. Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, everything is fucked in our industry. It turns out way grosser than any of us ever dared to dream. That's what I got. That's the news. I saved the worst stuff for last so we can end on a down note.
So we can end on a beautifully down note. If you really want to end on a down note, you end on Bakugan.
Bakugan. Way forwards, Bakugan.
Do we even really want to?
No, what's the talk about? It's Bakugan.
Hey, there is one thing to talk about real quick. Sony buying the minority stake in Epic Games.
Yeah. Epic Games situation.
Yeah, they announced it was what a $250 million investment or something like that. Yeah. They did it with. Cool.
That's just because they're gonna plan on really diving into PC games.
They want them Epic Fortnite dollars. They want in on that.
Well, and again, also a lot of folks were missing out on just how much entertainment stuff that Unreal Engine uses, like a Mandalorian.
And they said they're using it on the Obi-Wan show.
Yep, on the Obi-Wan show. I think they're using it in a bunch of different movies that Sony has been working on. Like I think the Spider-Man stuff too has been in there. So
yeah, it makes sense. And like with theme park attractions and stuff too. Yes. Like it's being used that way. I think
it's being used for like a lot of product and automotive and consumer products and stuff. Like Sony had Unreal all over their booth at CES, and it wasn't gaming related. So it's
as a company that is first and foremost an entertainment company.
Exactly.
It makes sense that they would want to invest in what seems to be going to play a significant role in the future of film and particularly television.
Mm-hmm,
I think that Unreal Engine stuff is going to be a godsend for a high budget.
Oh, like, God, yeah.
Yeah, because it's still very expensive to make a show look like a movie. But if you can do most of it rendered in a video game engine.
And I mean, those scenes of how they created the Mandalorian with just using like three walls, three big screens and whatever. And I mean, it's unbelievable. And they're able to get this phenomenal looking show that you really believe you're in space. I mean, that's going to save a lot of money for movies, big time. So if Sony getting a little bit of that under their wing with the big movie stuff that they do, I think is.
And I'm pretty sure that the big Rise of the Resistance ride at Disney is running on the Unreal Engine.
Is it really?
A lot of the CG stuff going on. And stuff
nice.
Too, so yeah.
Oh, there is one other thing.
Sure. What's up?
Hey, you know how we were just talking about how everybody on our side of the industry is shitty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it turns out everybody on the fan side of the industry is shitty too, because apparently they're attacking Laura Bailey for being the voice actor of a character they don't like.
I heard about this.
I love that they're attacking her for not love in the shitty way. Attacking her for the actions her character takes in the game.
Oh God.
Because one of the first things you meet with her is one of the most horrific things to happen in the game.
Sure.
And people are threatening her life and her family's lives over something that she didn't even write. Like, let
it's true. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I saw, like, so I'm, you know, I'm definitely not the corporate shill type of person in this type of situation. And I think, yeah. you know, obviously the stuff that Naughty Dog's done has been pretty well documented right now with some of their work conditions, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But you never go after people there. You don't put death threats at all on anybody, you know? And I still saw, like, you know, even a couple of our mutuals were replying back with, like, well, hey, you know, Naughty Dog, sure, you guys are ripping into the fans right now for doing death threats, but what about your shitty working conditions? Like, two different things, folks.
Yeah.
Kind of different things there. You're, So, anyways, it's shitty. They should totally not be going after her. I mean, fans need to just back the fuck off.
They can't.
They can't.
Proven time and time again. Well,
you know what the absolute worst part is? Like, the absolute fucking worst part is that people are so enraged by the character. That just means she did a good job. They should congratulate her. Like,
That is a character that they did a good job at making me, like, I didn't give a shit about the character. Spoilers, you sort of take over the character at one point.
Okay.
You start playing as that character. And, like, I'm like, I fucking hate this. But by the end of it, I was like, you know what? You know, they wrote her well enough to make me sort of like, I can't forgive you, but also everyone in this universe is shit. So
Joel's not.
Joel's a filthy angel.
Nope. We're not talking about the first game and anything he may or may not have done.
So I haven't finished. That's still on my list of things.
He's just a good dad looking out for a surrogate kid. And that's all that happened.
There you go. That's the dad of war that I need to go after. All right.
There was that I'm pretty sure wasn't a war criminal.
No. Anything else?
No, that's all I got. That's what I got.
Excellent. And that's it.
Yay.
We're going to finish this sucker on a Friday evening. We got it in an hour. We did it. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you, Sam, most of all. You've been fantastic.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. Thanks, Tom. Sam is at SamDI79. Make sure you guys tweet at him nonstop. Follow him. Tweet at him. Do everything you can. Tom. We'll get them back on. Rexley. You know, everybody. Other people. Thank you, other people. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. Aaron, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at Scratty Bones. I just realized how big the side questing roster actually is and how it's basically just us three on the show. Yeah, no matter how hard we try to get more people on.
I'm only tangentially related to this website at this point, too. So.
It's all good. We have fun.
Yeah.
Where can we find you, JJ?
The _devil_J on Twitter and DisneyCompendium.com.
Yeah, new season's out.
Just put out the Chicken Little episode.
Chicken Little, I should say. Chicken Little.
That's a hell of a movie.
If
this episode was an hour, you can listen to us for 2 hours talking about an hour and a half movie. So that's good.
Nothing is more attractive to me than a kid rooster with cool sunglasses, with cool glasses. Ready to go.
Zach Braff, voice of Zach.
Is that who that was? Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
You can find us at SideQuesting, sidequesting.com, SideQuesting on YouTube, SideQuesting TV on the Twitch. And that's it. We love you all. We'll see you in the next episode of the SideQuest. Have a safe and fun weekend. And go Ubisoft forward.
Choices kill my head. Turn a day now, disappear.